We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Da, 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 da. We're back, boys and girls. Hate to rub it in, guys, but my car's looking nice and shiny on the driveway.
Don't be like that.
I got my car cleaned, guys.
You know what happened.
The relevance of what I'm saying is I'm not bragging about my bloody shiny car. I didn't get my car washed. It's the only thing my little pea brain could think of. Harrison sends the notes to us this morning, and then he follows up in the email. Oh, by the way, my car got robbed. And then, Brian, you also had an interaction that maybe you don't want to talk about because the police might be involved. And then you said you're not sure if your car has been stolen, Harrington. Pray tell.
Okay, so I was in Hilton Head. I was visiting my parents last weekend. It was a great time. I parked my car Wednesday night in a spot. I made sure to drop a pin to my wife where my car was because I always forget where I parked the damn thing. I come back today. I needed to take my car to go into the studio. As you can tell, I'm not there because when I arrived at where my car was supposed to be parked, absolutely nothing was there. It was just, you know, the front of some guy's house. So I've just been searching. I went on to see if, like, you know, I have unpaid tickets and the city towed it. They said no. I went to check with the local precinct to see if, like, you know, there was like a parade that came through and they had to move it. They said no. So they told me my best course of action is call 911 and get the police out here to file a proper report.
Harrington, how many steps do you go through before you will come to the realization your car has been stolen? It's like, okay, maybe a parade came through and moved it. Perhaps I've got unpaid fines or warrants or whatever. Car's not there.
It's not the first time Harrington has misplaced a vehicle.
Dude, where's my car? Oh, my God. And Brian, you had some kind of vehicular
thing
as well.
A weird little road rage incident. Some man may or may not have tried to murder me in the traffic and ended up just popping my tire. So yeah. The police were involved. It was a whole scene.
So you don't want to talk about that, obviously, because the police are getting involved. But from the little that we can say, I'm just going to say it for you. You did the right thing staying in that car. You did the right thing. Yeah. I mean, when the guy's got a knife, you could have been in the hospital right now.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what he had in his hand, but I knew he had something. So I was like, I'm not playing this game. Get back in your car.
No,
savage.
This would lead me to believe that we have some very, very angry believers walking the streets of New York. They're like, we're going to find Harrington. We're going to find Brian. We're going to fuck their cars up. Fuck that podcast. I don't like it anymore. And they've got cars. They do not deserve it.
I'll drink Pepsi anyway.
Anyway, who does drink Pepsi? Anytime I'm in a restaurant or anywhere, it's like, Diet Coke, please. Oh, no, we've got Pepsi products. Who likes Pepsi?
Okay, I guess.
Oh. I mean, I'll take it. Because, you know. Anyway, whatever. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to do some predictions for the big, big boxing fight this weekend, Usyk versus Fury. I guess, though, we'll start with the other big boxing fight coming up, which is Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. They had the press conference yesterday. Pretty cordial affair. They squared up. Tyson gave him a little punch in the stomach. Just a tiny, tiny little dig. They were just having a laugh. You know, Mike Tyson said, who was it? I think, Ariel Helwani, I mean, talk about, you know, softballs, shall we say. Talk about easy questions. He wants to talk about how shitty the media are at UFC events these days. Bro. Anyway, Harriel, just, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Mike Tyson was Harriel said, well, you look good. He said, yeah, I'm beautiful. And that got a good laugh from the crowd. Then he goes, but my body's disgusting. My body feels like shit. My body's horrible. One of those three. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm not surprised, mate. You're 58 years old. We see the 30-second clips on Instagram. It's good to. It's easy to look good for 30 seconds when you're hitting pads with a trainer that you work with. I'm not saying that he can't beat him, and we've spoke about this a lot, but yesterday they were on the press conference. Fair play. I hope everyone makes a ton of money. One thing Jake Paul said that I did have an issue with is that ever since this fight became professional, that means someone's got to die. Somebody's got to die, right? People die in boxing. In fact, a young guy in England, Sunday night, 24 years old, making his professional debut, round four, takes a shot to the temple, I think it was, died, passed away. So, you know, he's there and he's trying to bloody, you know, be, you know, make these clips and make it sound badass and intense and all the rest of it. You don't need to. The sport of boxing is already incredibly dangerous. And I just don't think that he even still realizes it. And even Deontay Wilder was saying, I hope Mike Tyson, something bad doesn't happen to Mike Tyson. Because for all the, you know, all those things I've said about Jake Paul, you can't deny his punching power.
No.
People don't knock out Tyron Woodley the way that he did. Granted, Tyron was on a five-fight losing streak with the UFC. Boxes Jake Paul, loses a decision. But we never saw him flatline like that. So the man's got serious power. And at 58 years old, I'm pretty sure you can't take a shot the same way, Harrington.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the example that I always go to, you know, like look at Chuck Liddell in that last fight against Tito Ortiz. He was 50 years old, right? And that guy looked like he had absolutely no business being in a cage. Right. And it's like, you know, so now add 8 years onto that, you know, and you're not going in there against a guy in his 40s. You're going in there against a guy in his 20s who still has dreams and aspirations, as wild as they may sound, of maybe one day becoming a boxing world champion. You know, like that is not someone who's going to take it easy on you, who's going to put on a show for, you know, all these people on Netflix. Like, you're a 58-year-old man who's in there for, you know, want of a better word, you know, like a young killer. It's an issue. It definitely is. It's the first thing, concern that, you know, you came up with, and I think everybody who has half a brain came up with when this fight was booked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, you got two demographics. You got the old school boxers that are all rooting for Mike Tyson to win. And then Jake Paul even said it himself. He said, and I bring, you know, the YouTube, I bring the kids from TikTok and this and that. And I think right now we have a video of the prime example of a typical Jake Paul fan. Brian, roll the tape. And I will say this kid, and I don't advocate beating kids. If you're a mother or father, you shouldn't beat your children. Violence is not the answer. But this little shit needs a slap.
Here, so you're up first, my man.
Yo, I'm Kale Martin, and I'm a big fan of both of y'all. You guys are both fucking legends. And I just want to, like,
where's your mother at?
My mother? Who do you think's got a higher body count? What's your body count, Jake? Wow. What's your body count?
Where's this kid's mother?
Yo.
Jake, you think yours is higher? Type shit, we outside. God, God, boom, bitch. Ah!
Well done, little man.
I love you guys, motherfucker.
Okay, all right. Brother.
How old?
Well done.
How old do we think he is?
9?
No.
14?
9. Yeah, 13-ish. I'd say something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that kid stinks.
Yeah, you can just tell from him. But the confidence on the kid. You know what I mean? To get up there and be talking like that. And when he was referring to body count, it's not an expression I've used. He's talking about sexual partners, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless he's an old time mafioso and he's talking about how many people they've killed.
Well, that's where my mind went. First of all, I'm like, I truly am a boomer for crying out loud. None of them are assassins, even though Jake Paul pretends to be one in the ring. I'm telling you, as Mike Tyson said, where is that kid's mother? Right. because I was joking before, give him a slap, but Jesus Christ, no wonder you've got people robbing your cars and coming at you, you know, on the street, and there's little shits like that walking around. And every time we talk about this recently, so we're not going to spend long on it, but I saw that, I couldn't believe it.
It's the Twitch generation. They grew up watching people do the most shocking possible things for attention.
Yeah, I mean, and it's TikTok too, right? Like, you know, that that kid we talked about last year in England, the one who was like going into strangers' houses and ripping up library books and stealing people's dogs. Like, the, you know, like these kids have, you know, you think about the pandemic is now 4 years ago. They were all locked inside for a year watching on TikTok as people, you know, blew up and got clout and internet fame for doing nonsense like that. And I feel like it kind of has shaped this next generation of these kids now 4 or 5 years later, where they're in their teens now able to have the you know, accounts on these sites, and they want to do whatever they can to get clout. That kid was shouting out his thing from the beginning. So it's like, there's no way this kid isn't trying to be some kind of, you know, little shit influencer.
Yeah, no. And that's a great point, actually. And the pandemic fucked so much, so many things for so many people. And young children definitely did feel the brunt of that, being out of school for so long, college kids as well. And even now, college people can't bloody have the graduations because of all the madness that's going on. But this kind of leads us into the first non-MMA story, Harrington. We'll just get this one out of the way. You said that a principal in Florida has been arrested for choking a child. Now, listen, I'm all for discipline, as I just said, but choking a child, and I believe there was a bit more.
Yeah, it was bad. So there's a there video came out. The kid's face is blocked, obviously, because, you know, this is a child who's the victim here. But you can see in the video, he at one point, like, you know, grabs the kid in some kind of a chokehold. At another point, he grabs like a cell phone charger and starts whipping the kid with it. The kid tries to escape, and he's like, you know, he blocks the door to prevent the child from leaving. This went on for the better part of 45 minutes.
No.
Yes. Keeping the kid in prison.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
And how old was this kid?
I believe it was like 8 or 9. I'm not 100% sure. But young.
This is how you create serial killers, for sure.
45 minutes. That's torture. That's not the teacher losing his temper, letting his emotions get the better of him. And maybe because, look, listen, right, you got to assume that there's maybe coming into that one, maybe the kid was being a little shit. Let's just play devil's avocado, right? Let's give the teacher that benefit of the doubt. So he snaps, he loses his mind, which is inexcusable. You're a teacher. You should be have better control of yourself. But let's just say it, because he's only human. You lose your mind, you lose your temper, you snap, you go too far, you think, you know what you need? You need whipping with a phone charger, bit extreme, a lot extreme, strangling and all the rest of it, but whatever. But to go on 45 minutes, that ain't losing your temper. That's a sick individual that should not be anywhere near children. Simple as that.
Yeah, so and you can see it. There's a moment where, you know, the police, the body cam footage shows like the police interviewing the guy, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's like normal, you know, disciplinary stuff that I was doing. We held him a little bit late, you know, for his mom to come pick him up. So, you know, like this whole thing is completely blown out of proportion. And the cop says, really? Because that's not what the security camera in there shows. And you see the look on the guy's face going, oh, there's a security camera in there. Oh, holy shit, I'm screwed. Like, you know.
Yeah, so this is going to be a somewhat controversial point, what I'm going to say, because I know a lot of people don't want the quote-unquote police state or whatever, but if it wasn't for these security cameras everywhere, you wouldn't see things like that. And that guy could have got away with it and said that the kid was making up lies and all the rest of it. And I'm assuming there's so many heinous crimes that get caught on camera, and then the perpetrators are put in prison, not allowed to do their jobs, and so on and so forth. You know, so if you're doing nothing wrong for the most part, right, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? You want to catch the guys lassoing that woman in New York City, stealing your car, and going after bloody Brian. Anyway, the world's gone mental. So let's talk about some mixed martial arts. Ian Garry, polarizing person. Would you say right now, I want to choose my words, screw it, fuck it, one of the most hated UFC types right now?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. He is a lightning rod for criticism. I mean, you know, he might be one of those fighters that the fans love to hate, but you know, regardless, he's for sure, if not at the top, very close to public enemy number one in MMA fan.
Who do we think the top, like, quote unquote, pantomime villains, hated, real life hated, love to hate, regardless, those types that get the biggest boos? Who do we think they are right now? I used to be one. I know that for a fact. And it worked out great for me. So I'm not necessarily talking shit. I'm not talking shit. We're having a conversation and speaking facts. So Ian Garry, I'd say Colby Covington, certainly after his last fight, kind of turned a corner. Who else is there? I mean, Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah.
Sterling gets a bunch of boos.
But I think he's kind of redeemed himself in the eyes of the fans over the past couple of fights, no?
Yeah, I don't know. That last one was a little bit of a snooze fest. And then, you know, I mean, no disrespect to the guy. He got the win. But Aljo was there for a while. Maybe he has recently.
I would say Paddy's teetering on that list.
Paddy, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Certainly after the, again, the Jared Gordon situation, which wasn't his fault, but he just acted like a cocky bastard after. Yeah. Funnily enough, I did the same thing, and it did the same exact thing to me. This exact same outcome. I won a very close fight that could have gone either way. I acted like a dickhead on the microphone afterwards, and that was that. Because I was popular. I walked out at UFC 66 in Vegas, and I got a huge applause. And then when that happened in London at UFC 75, Spike TV, middle of the day, I think there was something like 4 million people watching it. And of course, he's deaf, so it makes me look like a bigger bastard. After that, that was it. For a good few years, public enemy number one.
You beat up a cripple, Mike. I don't know.
That cripple whooped my ass for a good period of that fight, let me tell you.
Paddy also followed up that Jared Gordon fight with a ho-hum decision win against a fighter most people generally love in Tony Ferguson. So it's like, if you're going to make your bones winning these close decisions against prospects we don't think you should have won that fight against, and then beating up on guys who we love, who, you know, like, you wouldn't have had a chance against 5 years ago, doesn't sit right.
I also followed up that performance against Matt Hamill with a ho-hum fight decision, but it was a loss, a split decision to Rashad Evans, a person that people love now, you know. We got a lot in common. All right, today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And right now, if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, well, this is the way to do it, okay? Give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. And starting therapy can give you anxiety all of itself. You're like, I want to do it, but it's complicated. I've got to sit there with someone. I've got to talk about my feelings and my problems and whatever's going on between my ears. I haven't got time for it. I've got to drive in the car. I've got to deal with traffic. You know, I don't want people necessarily knowing that I'm going to therapy. I don't even want to tell my wife or my boyfriend or whatever it is that I'm going to therapy. So when do I find the time? Well, with BetterHelp, it's all online. It's all done via the phone, okay? You just fill in a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed professional therapist. If for some reason you're not vibing, change therapists at any time for no cost whatsoever. And I say it every time, whatever it is that you're dealing with, time to take the bull by the horns, time to meet it head on, time to become the best version of yourself. Addiction issues, alcohol, substance abuse, whatever it is, anger, anxiety, depression, speak to someone and do it in the best way possible, the most convenient way possible, should I say, with BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. If you do this, everyone around you is going to thank you, but more importantly, you're going to thank yourself and you won't regret doing this. Go to betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. Betterhelp.com/believe. Anyway, so Ian Garry, apparently Colby Covington has been turning down Ian Garry time after time after time. This is the words of Ian Garry. He's been very vocal about this. Of course, Colby went out there and said that he had a bunch of conditions, you know, about his wife and et cetera, et cetera. He's continuing down that angle. But Garry says that Colby has turned them all down and now there's a potential fight with MVP. Brian, do we have that video, please?
What about a fight with Michael Venom Page?
I've said yes.
Okay.
I've said yes to that name.
him and his coaches are deciding because he feels a bit heavy. He's a bit heavy to make weight in 7 weeks' time. But I've said yes.
Okay. What other names have been offered to you then? I'm assuming they're all ranked. I'm assuming that they're all top 15.
Isn't it? There's been so many at this point. You kind of lose count. I feel like I've gone through about 8 or 9 names. And it's like, no, don't want that fight, not interested. The UFC are saying they're not interested in it. They've offered me Kobe. I've said yes to MVP. I've said yes to Sean Brady. I've said yes to, I don't even know his name, the Uzbekistani guy, if he had a one. I've said yes to Joaquin Buckley. I say yes to every single person that has come my way. That is what I do. And since I've entered the UFC, I've done nothing different. I say yes. I say what day, where, and when.
Because he's a real badass. That's what you do in the UFC. You get offered fights and you say yes. I'm joking. As the fighter, you're going to spin it a little negatively on the opponent because that's Gary's style. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to change. He's cocky. He's undefeated. He's young, you know. So he's going to hold on. He's saying he's a bit overweight. He might be a bit overweight. He was just on vacation after his UFC debut. But Michael Venom Page doesn't have too much time to waste. I believe he's 36 years old. He fought in February. Fighting this summer is about right. And I think I called for it straight away. Ian Garry, Michael Venom Page would be the matchup that I made, right? A lot of people didn't like Gary's last performance against Jeff Neal because he used the height, the kickboxing ability, the range, the footwork, and all the rest of it. And he did it in a very defensive fashion. He fought smart. He had a game plan and he stuck to it. He wouldn't be able to fight like that against Michael Venom Page. And it would be a fight where the two of them, the cannon, you know, very, very different style, but kind of a mirror image in terms of body types and approach to the game. Striking, tall, 6'3", lean, fast. You know, not one-trick ponies. I'm sure they can all hit an armbar here and there. And Gary's been down in Brazil for a long time, but I think that's the fight to make.
It's a brilliant fight. It's a fight the fans want to see. And it's certainly like, this is a true test for Ian Garry. You know, like I feel like most people, there was not a lot of backers for Neil Magny in when Ian Garry fought him. There was a lot of backers for Jeff Neal when Jeff Neal fought him. This feels like when the odds makers come out with this, it's going to be minus 110 aside. Like I don't know how Vegas picks a favorite in this one.
It's an interesting matchup because I think when you look at Michael Venom Page, in terms of singular shots, he's faster, he's more dynamic, he's more explosive, he hits harder. But I think when you look at combinations and like more orthodox style, probably Ian Garry has an advantage there. But I would lean towards Michael Venom Page in that fight. But who cares? Who knows? Remains to see if it even gets made. Did want to talk about Alexander Usyk, Tyson Fury going down this weekend. We spoke about it on Monday. I'm excited for this fight. I'll be in Costa Rica. I'm going to be doing a live stream for that one. So if anyone's interested, tune in for the Costa Rican live stream, live and direct. What's the face?
People are going to be interested. You're saying if anyone's interested, last time you did a live for Fury, you had like 300,000 people watching.
It was insane. There was a lot of people watching. It was wild. So I might be there, I don't know, in some jungle attire. I will not be. I'll have a black t-shirt on like always.
As long as you're sipping a drink from a coconut, I think people will know you're in a tropical locale. You'll be good.
That's not bad. So listen, I'm excited for this one. The question is, who wins the fight? We touched on it on Monday a tiny bit. I wanted to save it for this. A good question here is, who has more to lose, right? And I think who has more to lose goes to the side of Tyson Fury because of, listen, the shit talk. He always talks shit. He always hypes a fight. He always sells it, you know. He always dismisses the threat of his opponents. But he is fighting a much smaller guy, right? So that's going to, you know, that'll whoever loses this is not the best boxer of that generation. Whoever wins this, for sure is. Simple as that. The best heavyweight boxer of that generation, without a shadow of a doubt. So it's a massive fight. The first undisputed belt in 25 years. Whoever wins it is the best of that generation. And it's over. So if for Tyson to lose it to a guy that he's called a middleweight for so long, and he was a cruiserweight for a long time, that again makes it a tougher pill to swallow. When your dad's walking around headbutting people in the lobby, do you know what I mean? When your team's kind of getting on like that, I don't know about Fury. I just know for me personally, I'd be like, for fuck's sake, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing assaulting people in the hotel? Now I'm going to have to go out there. I'm going to have to put on a blinding performance. I'm going to have to make sure I get the victory. I'm going to have to get on the microphone and just say, look, listen, we're all just hyped up. Tensions were running high. Pressures were on. It's a big fight, but apologies for anything. Because it's not how you want to conduct yourself. I know I did like that at times when I was fighting, but there was never any headbutts to fans, I'm proud to say. So I just think with the way that Fury has dismissed the threat is the main thing. I had the press conference the other day, Fury's yapping and shouting and giving him loads of shit, calling him the sausage or whatever. And Usyk's just cool, calm and collected, man. And he's just like, you're finished? You're finished? Anything else? You know, just like, he's not bothered. He's not fazed by it one little bit. It reminds me of when I fought GSP and I was chatting shit on the other side, sitting there, and George was just laughing. You know what I mean? But I had one eye and broken ribs in that fight. So I'll go fuck yourself before you start. Who wins, Harrington, in your opinion? I'll let him get, and then I'll do my analysis in a second.
I mean, there's just something about Tyson Fury. Yes, for all the, you know, he's a cruiserweight and everything. Like, it's true. Like, it's true. The guy fought a cruiserweight for the majority of his career. People weren't sure how it was going to translate when he came up to heavyweight. Yes, he's had some brilliant performances since he came up to heavyweight. But I don't know, man. Tyson Fury, he knows how to use his weight. He knows how to use his size more than most boxers, I think. You know, and we saw it in the Ngannou fight, right? Like, how he faces adversity for a fight that I think we can both agree he didn't train for. You know, he was not in fight shape for it. He had the big pop out. Like, there, nothing about that looked like a Tyson Fury fight. And, you know, say what you will about boxing judging, but he did get up off the canvas and do just enough to show the ring generalship to win those last few rounds. So, you know, the something about the experience of heavyweight boxing, of some people that size, I think Tyson Fury can squeak by for a decision.
Yeah, I disagree. I've got Usyk in this one, and I'm basing a lot of it on those two victories of Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua was on a mission to save his career, to get it back on track over after the loss to, who was it, Andy Ruiz. And he struggled a little bit, you know, and his popularity had kind of dipped. But then, so he was on a mission. You know, and then he has a couple of wins, and then he meets Usyk, he loses, then they have a rematch, and yeah, he did a lot better in the rematch, but he still lost. Anthony Joshua's phenomenal, man. I mean, look at him against Ngannou, and we spoke about the other day, MMA math, boxing math not stacking up, but I think it does a little bit. I think Usyk is used to his entire career fighting heavyweights or bigger guys, right? So this is nothing new for him. I think he's the faster guy. I think he's got better footwork. He's got better technicalities. Of course, the reach of Fury is going to be an issue. Tyson's fast. He moves his head well. There's a reason why he's undefeated. He's 34-1, I believe. He's very heavy.
Yeah.
He's very heavy. You know, you don't get, though, the kind of accolades that he has. I mean, some of the performances I've seen from Tyson Fury have been mind-blowing. I've been like, holy shit, man. Because when you look at him, he doesn't look athletic. But then when you see some of the fights, and granted the Ngannou one, he looked like grade A dog shit. He was the one going to his knees and it looked like he was going for takedowns. He was the one clinching every few seconds because I think he thought he was just going to spark him out. So anyway, so as I'm saying, full respect to Tyson Fury. I just think Usyk is going to get it done. I think, does he stop him? Does Alexander Usyk not only beat, but knock out Tyson Fury, the first person to do both? I mean, oh my God. I want that to happen just to see, no man alive knocks out my son, beats my son, fighting men, it's going to kick off in Riyadh. What are you going to say, Bri?
Well, You know, arguably he was down for quite a while during that one of those knockdowns during the Deontay Wilder fight. So like, it's not like he hasn't been severely hurt in a fight before, you know, and Usyk is going to get in.
Correct. And listen, again, I am not disrespecting Tyson Fury, but Francis Ngannou, Derek Chisora, Dillian White, who he'd beaten a few times, Deontay Wilder, who looked like shit just recently. Who did he fight just recently? I forget.
He got his ass whooped, though.
Yeah, he did it.
Let me check.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Otto Ballin, Tom Schwartz, you know, I mean, they're good fighters. They're good fighters, but these are not. Sorry, no, hold on. I'm looking at bloody. I am looking at Tyson Fury's record. I thought, hold on a minute. I'm looking at his record. I am. So they're good fighters, but I don't think any of those people possess the kind of technical ability that Usyk does. And I think anyone that knows boxing would 100% agree with me. And then I think given the fact he's so motivated, the fact what his people in Ukraine are going through, you know what I'm saying? Like, without getting into all that stuff, but it's like, you know, they are going through a war that's going on, what, 2-3 years now, 2.5 years, something like that. You know, he's fighting for his nation, you know? Tyson Fury's made hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, and it's the same old analogy. I'm not even going to say it. And McGregor's kind of in the same situation. All he's fighting for right now is ego, which is a powerful motivator. But Usyk, yeah, he's got the ego. Yeah, he's got the financial side. Yeah, he's got the boxing record. He's got the accolades that are all going to motivate him. But he's also got the fact that his country's getting bombed every single day. And his people, you know, are looking for a bit of inspiration, you know. And that's got to be a powerful motivator.
If I'm not mistaken, I think early on in the early days when Russia was marching on Kiev, Usyk was on the front lines fighting, you know, with the Klitschko brother who is the mayor of that city. Yep. So, you know, yes, like certainly you seeing war, right, as the heavyweight champion of the world, having Tyson Fury talk a bit of smack to you is certainly, you know, that's not going to get under your skin. It's not going to make
well, because he's emotionally mature. You know what I'm saying? And he's just like, listen, I feel, have you seen that, Brian?
He's also one of the funniest dudes. Like you're saying, I think he's doing that on purpose.
See if you can find a little video that we can play of Usyk, because there's some bloody good ones, honestly. Cause like he does have this funny little face, and Tyson just keeps calling him a bloody sausage and an ugly little man and run rabbit. It's like, dude, trash talk might need a bit of work there. He's extremely captivating. He is charismatic. He is, but the insults, you know, they're not the best.
You got all that money. Hire a writer, dude. Hire a writer.
Here, I got a video. I'm just going
to
play.
I mean, what did I say to Joyce? I had some good ones to Joyce, but let's have a listen. Let's have a look.
Hello, my name is Alexander. Kind kid. Who's it?
How's your English?
Perfecto.
You feel?
I'm Phil. Good. I'm very Phil.
How do you feel?
I'm Phil.
Listen, you just said all that money, get yourself a writer. You know I'm a fan of Usyk. All that money, you got to get that gap in your teeth fixed. You got to get the gap in the teeth fixed. You do. You know what I mean? I mean, and to be fair, there's nothing wrong with it. And character and being unusual is cool and should be embraced. So maybe I'm wrong. I'm just saying, if that was me, I'd be like, Mr. Dentist Man, can you please do something about this gaping bloody chasm between my two front teeth?
You wouldn't worry about, like, your dental work getting fucked up when you get punched in the mouth?
I had all these bad boys redone before the George St. Pierre fight.
Why?
Yeah. It was terrible timing. I didn't know what it involved. Well, I've told this story many times, so I'm not going to repeat it again. You know, I didn't know what it was going to involve. I didn't realize they were going to drill all my teeth away. Anyway, I think it's going to be a tremendous fight. I can't wait for it. I'm doing a live stream on Saturday, so tune in for that. And then I think Usyk wins it. But I wouldn't be surprised. It's one of those, and that's what makes it a great fight. And it's just so good that after all this time, they're finally going to throw down. you know, because that's the problem with boxing. It is. And look how long it's took to make this happen. We still haven't had Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, both English, both great, both been going at each other. Well, Fury going at Joshua and Joshua kind of ignoring him for many years. You know, that fight should have happened by rights years ago, you know?
Well, it couldn't because, you know, the because of the way boxing contracts are structured, you fight a guy and now you're locked into seven rematches with the guy, right? Like he would have had to have paid Deontay Wilder $10 million to not fight as a man.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about in general. There were so many negotiations. It fell through and there was demands and there's been so many times and there's been so many years. You know what I'm saying? And listen, this one's happening. This one's happening. Well done to Turki Al-Sheikh, the Sheikh of Saudi Arabia. You know, he's spending a lot of money. He's making all these events happen. And if the money wasn't right, this fight wouldn't be happening. You know, if Turki Al-Sheikh wasn't, and I don't know what the purses are going to be, I guarantee they are absolutely astronomical. We got to be talking, I mean, well, Ryan Garcia got $50 million, right, recently, reportedly. Right, with Ryan Garcia is getting 50 mil for that fight. I mean, I think
150.
I don't know if it's that much. I mean, that's crazy.
75. I mean, it's oil money, dude.
I don't know. So anyway, regardless, well done for that fight even taking place in the first place. All right, this episode is sponsored by Fitbod, and Fitbod is the personalized workout routine. Right, it's your personal trainer. It's your personal motivation fitness guru right there on your phone. I haven't got time to get to a gym. It'll give you a workout wherever you are. Can't afford for a gym? Well, when I tell you this offer, it's a ridiculously cheap offer. Getting bored. You've plateaued. You're getting just so sick of the same routines. This will give you the best workouts. It will show you all new stuff and it will cater it to whatever available equipment you have. So if you've got a full-on gym, fantastic. If you just got a garage with a couple of free weights, it'll help you out. If you just got to go down the local park, it'll show you a ton of stuff there. You can learn the new movements the right way because there's over 1,000 high-definition demonstration videos to make sure that you're doing it correctly, but more importantly, the form is right and you don't injure yourself. It's fine-tuned by experienced, certified personal trainers to bring the best practices and the exercise science to you. It tracks your muscle recovery so you can avoid burnouts and keep your momentum. It adapts as you improve. So as I say, it's adaptive with you. It's like having a trainer. As you're getting better, it will start making it a bit more challenging so you're continuing to be pushed and you see progress, and it will create a personalized workout routine based on your goals, your fitness levels, and as I said, the available equipment. So right now, what on earth are you waiting for? So all you got to do right now, if you want to try that app out for free, go to fitbod.me/believe. Try it out for free. fitbod.me/believe. If you like it, you can get 25% off your subscription. Okay. It's a sensational app and it's a sensational offer. Try it out for free. And if you like it, get 25% off the subscription by going to fitbod.me/believe. All right. So Harrington, you did a good job on the non-MMA stories this time. And I was quite curious about number five. A California man was ordered by a judge to keep his bolt behind a fence out of view of his neighbors. So he did. And then he had an artist paint a photo, realistic version of the bolt on the fence. Oh my God. That is brilliant. Oh, that is great. Look at the detail on that.
It's not killdozer level like public disturbance, but I still appreciate it.
Yeah, but it's done so well. See, I wasn't imagining that. That's like 3D. As you're walking by, that looks like there's a bolt there because it's done so well. That is the ultimate fuck you. Is that the ultimate? You're such a stupid little dickhead. You've reported me to the local authorities to move my bolt because I use it frequently. So I conveniently leave it on my driveway. I leave it on my land, on my house, which I have paid for. And you put a complaint in, so now I've got to put it behind the fence. Well, guess what? It isn't going to end there. That is amazing.
That's literally no one hates their homeowners association more than this guy.
I tell you, the HOAs where I live, they're out of control. We painted our house because it needed it, but we didn't get authorization first. And it wasn't a different color. The color schemes changed a little bit, but essentially similar colors. There was a bit of black and a bit of cream on there, ivory. But we got fined because we didn't ask for permission. And currently, right now, at the front of the house above the garage, there's like a long wooden strip. That's one of the parts that's painted black. And we're very annoyed. Some of the wood has chipped off. There's a big piece. It just chipped off. So there's a big white patch. And we got a letter from the HOA. We have to resolve that soon. Otherwise, they're going to fine us again.
That's absurd. That's absurd. Like, these guys have too much power. Like, I bought the house here. Why do you have any say in what I do with my house?
Not and on the all. Flip side, when you enter our estate, there's a guard, as you guys know. On the right side, it's for guests. So you just go through and there's a little flashy thing on the front of your car and the barrier lifts. On the other side, it's for guests. And they've got to check in with the guard and they call where they're going to and all the rest of it. It's been broken for about 4 months currently. So we got to wait in line and it's taking forever for ages every single time because they're even checking our stuff. They want to see our ID and all the rest of it, even though I've lived there for 13 years now because there's been a lot of break-ins recently. Been a lot of break-ins and cars stolen and stuff like that. So it's taking ages to get into the neighborhood, you know, but they're going to fine us. They're going to fine us because a little piece of bloody wood has chipped off.
They got to pay to get that gate fixed somehow.
Well, they get paid pretty bloody well every single bloody month. It's insane. It's insane. I mean, that's great though. California, that's the thing, man. All the rules and regulations. I mean, it's a beautiful place and the weather's incredible. And I talk about going to North Carolina and stuff, but I don't know if I could ever actually truly leave here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could, dude.
I don't know.
California's easy to leave.
That's God's country.
Not where I am. It's pretty nice. And
you do live in a really nice spot.
There's not all the madness. And we got a nice bit of land and trails and all the rest of it right by us. You know, there's nature very close. The weather's beautiful today.
That exists in so many places in America. Like, you could literally just move. I mean, I wouldn't recommend moving to, like, upstate New York because it gets cold as shit in the winter.
Yeah.
But, like, the Carolinas, a little bit inland, so you don't get smashed by hurricanes. That's the place to be.
I sat next to a guy on the plane flying to St. Louis last week. Beautiful guy. Really, really nice guy. A bloke, I'd say, in his mid to late 60s. He was the dean of global programs for a bunch of universities all over the world. Very, very smart, intelligent guy. Kind of a powerful guy, in the education world. Travels all over the place. So he knows everywhere. So we got talking. And he liked to put down a little gin and tonic. I like to put down a little vodka and tonic. It was a 3.5-hour flight and it was a 3.5-hour conversation. We went through a range of topics, one of which being, we're thinking about moving to North Carolina. And he was like, he's like, brother, I've just met you, right? I feel like I've got a gauge on who you are. You ain't gonna like North Carolina. He said, it is full of hillbillies. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's true.
He said, but you don't look like the type of guy that's gonna blend with the hillbillies too much.
Well, I'm telling you, South Carolina is where I'm all about, right? Because that's even, you have more protection from hurricanes. The weather is slightly, more of a tropical climate because you're that much closer to the equator. Mike, I'm telling you, I'm going to send you some Zillow listings. You're gonna fall in love.
Ohio's pretty good.
I just want to say a massive round of applause to that guy, though, for painting that boat. That is the ultimate. All right, I'll do it. But I'm going to get you back. And he's well within his rights. Saying that, the HOA might have something to say about that if they're bloody bitching about my paint scheme. Anyway, MMA, Umar Nurmagomedov versus Corey Sandhagen is due to go down bantamweight division. Number one contender matchup, do we think?
I do think so.
Abu Dhabi as well, right?
Abu Dhabi, yeah. I mean, just the fact that there's been no movement for Merab versus Sean O'Malley tells me that Merab might not be number one, and this Sandhagen versus Nurmagomedov fight, it's going to be pretty hard if there's a convincing winner in this fight. Like, it doesn't go to like a split decision or whatever. If somebody walks away from this a clear cut head and shoulders above the other, it's going to be so hard to give that number one contender spot to anyone else.
And I don't know this firsthand, but I saw something on social media talking about Umar Nurmagomedov. And it's basically said that he's never lost a round. Now, I don't know if that's true because I can't remember every round that he's ever competed in. But he's certainly undefeated. And in the UFC so far, Sergey Morozov finished, Brian Kelleher, rear naked choke, Nate Menez decision, Ronnie Barcelos, first round stoppage. That was impressive. I called that one last time. A decision again. So 3-4-5-0 so far in the UFC. He's slick on the feet. He's got great kickboxing. The wrestling, of course, being a Dagestani. How tall is he? I think he's pretty tall as well. 5'8 for the division. I think O'Malley's what? 5'10?
Yeah, I think he's 5'10, 5'11, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Corey Sandhagen, though. He's no slouch either. I hate to bring it up. Look at what he did to Chito Vera. You know, I hate to bring that up, but it's true. That's the fight where I looked at Corey Sandhagen in a completely different light. You know, I was like, Jesus Christ. That is a phenomenal fight.
Yeah, I think didn't he break his hand against Rob Font in like the first round? And I mean, granted, not the most exciting fight from there on out, but if he's doing that with a broken hand to, you know, somebody who is a perennial top five, top seven contender type guy, the guy is an absolute problem. And it's like, I don't know. This is the fight. This is the fight for Umar. Yeah, you're sure. You haven't lost a round up to this point. You also haven't fought anybody nearly as good as Corey Sandhagen. So let's see if you keep that streak alive.
This is the thing, right? Bantamweight. It's insane. Most of the weight classes now are crazy. Sean O'Malley, an incredible champion. I think he has grown into that role so good. That last fight against Chito, the fight against Aljamain Sterling, you know, Pyotr Yan was a close one, and, you know, people weren't still sold, but those last two performances, how can you not be? And they were like, oh, the slow rolling game, they're taking the time. You're right. They were. They kind of did. But you could argue that that's an appropriate path to take with somebody with real potential that you're building along the way, that a good manager would kind of choose those kind of appropriate step ups in competition as the career progresses. And now when he gets to the chance of being a champion, he's a dominant champion, granted only one defense, but he has got a murderer's role. So he's got Marab coming up. Corey Sandhagen is two. Pyotr Yan is beaten. Marlon Vera, he's beaten. Henry Cejudo, I don't think he's getting a shot. Umar Nurmagomedov is only ranked number 10. So, yeah, in terms of threats, it's Marab, Corey, and Umar Nurmagomedov. And I think all of those, I think they're all tough. With respect to Sean, of course, I think they're all tough matchups. I think Umar Nurmagomedov, probably the toughest out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, especially with all three of those guys you just mentioned having, you know, grappling being a large part of their game plan. You know, somebody who can stifle the kind of kickboxing and, you know, range distance approach of somebody like Sean O'Malley, right? Like that's one person, you know, the only guy who was really a threat like that was Jan, but I mean, that guy, he doesn't go to his offensive wrestling that much. These guys are really going to test, you know, his takedown defense.
Yeah, and most of them are long. Marab's not. You know, I think Marab, he's very, very good at what he does. But he's not as dynamic and not as versatile as Umar or Corey Sandhagen. They can really pick their poison. They're fast. They're dynamic, as I said. You know, they're very, very technical on the feet. And then the grappling's probably just as good as well. You know, whereas Marab, you know, he's a marauder. He's a cardio machine. He's a monster. He pushes forward, relentless pressure, insane cardio. But there is a potential for Sean to catch Marab the same way that he caught Aljamain Sterling, you know, so it's a great fight. Can't wait for Marab, and I wish him all the best, of course. But after that, I tell you what, O'Malley's got some tough fights, but that means money, big fights. Not surprised he's calling out Ilia Topuria.
Yeah, dude, get me out of this division, right? Give me a striker.
I don't think he's doing that. What is going on? What do we know about Ilia Topuria? Because I saw some. Max Holloway was on the Joe Rogan podcast. I know this isn't in the notes. He was on the podcast and he kind of cleared up some things. Do you recall what that was?
Ilya keeps saying, I only want to fight this guy if the BMF is on the line, right? So Holloway came out and said, all right, fine. The bitchiest motherfucker belt can be on the line. If you're going to be this much of a whiner and complainer about, you know, what kind of stipulations you're going to put on a fight, that doesn't really seem like BMF behavior, but sure, whatever. I don't care. Give me the fight.
So they've moved on then, have they, completely from Volkanovski?
So as far as what Ilya said is, I've never turned down the Volkanovski fight, right? You know, there was rumors that he was offered Volkanovski for the card in Australia coming up. Early reports were that Ilya Topuria had no interest in going to Australia to fight him. Ilya came out and said, I haven't been offered the Volkanovski fight, which means I haven't turned down the Volkanovski fight. But that belt that Max has around his shoulder is pretty tempting to me.
It's the exact same situation as Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier, and Islam Makhachev. I said it at the time with that performance that Dustin Poirier had against Benoit Saint-Denis. Don't be surprised if he gets a title fight. And that was before Max Holloway flatlined Justin Gaethje. And now it's the same thing. Volkanovski, by rights, by merits, what he's done in the division, should be the next guy. However, Max Holloway putting on one of the most inspiring performances that you're ever going to see, he's jumped the queue. And I think most fans right now, certainly when, and come on, we all love Volkanovski, but when you saw how such an emphatic stoppage, the way he knocked him out, and then you look at the fight before that against Islam, and it was a knockout then, and then there was the decision loss to Islam as well, that just affects the casual fan base's appreciation for that fighter. It's like, hold on, 3 out of 4, is it? 3 out of 4, you've lost now, you know? Ilya wants the biggest fights possible, and the public want to see the guys that they're going to point at the floor and say, come on, let's fucking do this. Let's do that man dance. You know what I mean? I'd say Holloway versus Topuria would be my pick.
Well, I think there's a reason Dana White, right, for the massive stage that was the Tom Brady roast, he brought two guys with him to sit at his table, right? Sean O'Malley, who we all agree is he's the next biggest star. He's maybe going to move into that Conor McGregor spot. And then Max Holloway, who I legitimately think after UFC 300 might be the biggest star in the company.
Yeah. Yeah. Who, Max Holloway?
Yeah. I mean, that moment crossed over, dude. Casuals who I haven't talked to in years were texting me about that point at the floor moment.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's not the first time he's done it. That was a massive, massive spotlight, UFC 300. That was the narrative. Listen, Pereira was incredible. That uppercut, the way he finished Jamal Hill, incredible. Well done to him. I mean, he continues to do incredible things. But yeah, Max Holloway, the fight itself, stepping up, beating Justin Gaethje, then flatlining him in the final seconds. That's what being a bad motherfucker is all about. And that's what people want to see when they tune into the UFC. They're the type of fights that they want to see. That's why when I said before, when I was talking about Ian Garry, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I'm talking about what people are tuning on the TV for on a Saturday night, right? Yeah, they appreciate strategy and technique. And we saw that with the Max Holloway fight, but we also saw that fire. We also saw that willingness to take risk. We saw the emphatic finish, the knockout, Justin Gaethje getting face planted. You know, you want those moments where your jaw falls to the floor. And there were so many people in the ring just like, oh my God. Wow. You know what I mean? And when people see that, they're like, shit, I want to see this guy again. And that was why Conor McGregor went on such a massive shot to stardom, because that's what he was doing. He was going out there. He was talking shit. He was charismatic as hell. He was original at the time. We hadn't seen an Irish man like this with that kind of swagger and talk. And then, you know, his unique approach. But then the skill in the octagon and the way that he was dismantling people. You know what I mean? Again, you get those jaw-dropping moments. Plus, of course, every bloody American, they all claim to be Irish. You know what I mean? So like, they're like, oh, he's one of fucking us, right? So he has... So you all claim to be Irish. Every person I speak to, oh yeah, I'm Irish. You're Irish, Brian. Arrington, are you yeah. Irish? Are you of Irish descent, Brian?
Scottish.
Fucking Scottish. You bastard. Good lad, McKay. Of course. How well, that could be Irish though as well.
It says the spelling is like Irish spelling has a G in it. The my spelling is MAC, so it's yeah. Mac K. Oh, yeah,
Mac K.
McGregor. They do. It's funny. It's funny. I don't want to go down that path though. Paul Felder, who's a friend of the show, a friend of mine, commentator, and sometimes co-host here and there. We got into a pretty heated argument one night. Have I ever talked about this?
I don't know, about the Philadelphian Irish Dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Have I talked about it on the show?
I don't think so.
It was after a London event. And, you know, I was just teasing. I was just teasing, but I took it too far. I'd had a few drinks. So had he. It was like 4 a.m. He was drinking a lot of whiskey. I was drinking whatever I drink, you know, and we're all having a good time. And then somehow nicknames came up and I was like, Irish Dragon. I said, is anyone in your family actually Irish? Because my mum's actually Irish. And I'm like, okay, listen, unless someone in your immediate family has an Irish accent, you can't call yourself Irish. And of course, I'm joking. I'm busting balls. But Paul didn't take it too kindly. And fair play. He is an Irish dragon. He's a fiery dragon, that's for sure. He was like getting in my face, you know, and I'm like, Paul. And then I was like, I was just continuing to be a smoke because I was laughing. I was drunk. I was winding him up, you know, but I didn't think he'd get quite so, hey, but there you go. Careful with Paul Felder. Paul Felder does not mess about. Let me tell you that.
Everybody's favorite county of Ireland, Philadelphia, dude. They all know what's up over there.
Shut up. Paul's the man. I love Paul. He's so good to work with. This episode is sponsored by Buy Optimizers that are going to give you every form of magnesium that your body requires. And you're sitting there thinking, I don't need magnesium. Why do I need magnesium? Well, you probably don't know it, but 80% of the population is deficient in magnesium. And magnesium is required in your body for a bunch of different things on a cellular level. And one of those things it is critical for is sleep. Magnesium increases GABA, which encourages relaxation on a cellular level, which, as I say, plays a massive part in your sleep. Magnesium also plays a key role in regulating your body's stress response system. Those with a magnesium deficiency usually have higher anxiety and stress levels, which negatively impact sleep as well. And don't just go out there and buy any magnesium, because most magnesium supplements that you buy have one or two forms of magnesium, when in reality, your body needs all 7 forms of this essential sleep mineral. And that is why you got to buy Magnesium Breakthrough. I recommend it because it's got all 7 forms to help calm your mind, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. The sleep benefits are very noticeable. You're going to have some wild, wild dreams. I've had some great ones recently. I love a good nap. I love going to bed at night. I do. I really value my sleep. But these dreams, man, since I've been on the Bioptimizers Total Magnesium Breakthrough, they've gone to the next level. Anyway, who cares about that? Right now, go to magbreakthrough.com/BYM to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and get a free gift with your purchase, okay? If you go to magbreakthrough.com/BYM, they're always giving away free gifts, and that's another reason why you're going to love Buy Optimizers. Get the magnesium that you need, get every single form, get a free gift, and get it by going to magbreakthrough.com/BYM. Anyway, from one real fighter in Paul Felder to with unquestionably another real fighter. I am, of course, talking about Mike Perry. Said it a million times, what he's done in bare knuckle is ridiculous, okay? He's just the transformation. He's actually talking. Did you see this about potentially coming back to mixed martial arts?
Oh, he's been talking about it. Remember we had that phone call that he had with Mick Maynard sometime last year. There's an itch. Like, I've become a star in this other place, but I still want to be a UFC champion one day.
Well, the rumors that I'm seeing right now, and I'd love to see him back in the UFC, I would. The rumors that I'm seeing is that with Conor McGregor now being a part owner of BKFC, and I don't know if this is true, and I don't know if I want to see it, Dylan Danis versus Mike Perry, bare knuckle.
Okay.
Take my money.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, to watch Dylan Danis get smashed to bits, it's going to be insane.
And every dollar that he makes goes to Logan Paul. It's a win-win.
Oh, it's the great. That's the best.
No, I don't like that, if I'm honest. I saw that recently. Dylan Danis had a tweet out there. He said he's trying to ruin my life for the last 9 months. I've been dealing with this lawsuit.
Oh,
and I saw a tweet from him recently and I kind of resonated with that. A former manager of mine had a bullshit lawsuit that went on for 10 years. And I'm telling you, the mental stress that causes, just the financial, every fucking day, legal letters and stuff like that. And just the monthly legal fees that went on for 10 years. And it was all bullshit. And eventually, finally, after 3 trials, it got thrown out. And then I got some money back, and he still owes me a fortune of it, which I'll never see, but whatever, right. I won in the end. So I kind of feel for Dylan there. But you start posting pictures, rude pictures, of the man's love of his life.
The
he's going to do
child.
Something. Is it the mother of his child?
Yeah, she's pregnant now.
Go on.
Does Dylan Dennis owe him a fuck ton of money?
I have no idea what's going on in Dylan Dennis's life.
No, Nina and Logan are both suing him, and he's been very vocal about how
he hasn't lost yet, right? He doesn't owe them like $1 million yet.
But he still has to pay the court fee, you know, the legal fees, as Mike was saying, to your lawyers every month to go and fight this case. And Logan, it's not hurting him.
That's the problem with the legal system out here, you know, not just here, in the UK as well, and probably most countries, you know. Western countries or with a similar legal system. Yeah. You file a lawsuit against somebody, and if you have the money to prosecute, the person defending could have done absolutely nothing wrong. It can be totally fabricated, and you have no choice but to lawyer up and pay the legal fees, of which they are absolutely astronomical, or you're going to lose that case. You're going to have a judgment made against you. For whatever amount of money it is. And if you have money in the bank, if you have assets, houses, cars, whatever it is, they're going to come and they're going to take it all off you if you don't pay a ridiculous amount of money. Now, granted, if you are successful, the person that's suing you has to pay your legal fees. But sometimes it doesn't pan out like that. Sometimes the judge says, nah, I don't know. It's a bit ambiguous. I wasn't kind of sure. I'm going to wash my hands of it all. But you all cover your own legal fees. It's a messed up system. I could sue you right now, Brian. What for? What Please would I don't. Sue Brian for, Harrington?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd sign a contract, but there isn't one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You could sue me. Let's do it the other way. Sue me for... Harrington could sue me for abuse.
That's fair.
In the workplace. Yeah. I tell you,
judge, strangers come up to me, say fuck you to me in front of my daughter.
They say it in arenas. That's it. That this is a legitimate thing, right? And it's messy.
Mike's getting served tomorrow.
you can't go out in public now when you're with your father, who's a respectable man, okay? With your young child. When you're with people and work associates and there's people just abusing you in the street, it's affecting your sleep. You don't want to go outside. You can't sleep at night. It's affecting your professional relationships and and your personal relationship with your fiance. Yeah, with your fiance. I'm fucked.
I'm all saying right, well, I would not be surprised if somebody in the comments is like, I'm a lawyer, Harrington, please call me.
Yeah. Well, just for the record, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. It's at this point I am reminded from that scene from Casino. He says, Joe Pesci, if you don't have my money in the morning, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to come round. I'm going to break your face. What does he say? He's going to beat the shit out of me. I'm going to put you in the hospital and you're going to be in a fucking coma. And by the time you're getting out of a coma, I'll be getting out of prison. And you know what I'm going to do in the first day? I'm going to come beat the fuck out of you again because that's who I am. And I got to deal with that. So have my fucking money in the morning. And if you pull that shit, Harrington, you're dead. I'm joking.
No,
just thought I'd say that for the record.
Mike Perry, Dylan Dennis, though. How fun is that going to be?
Yeah, build up, great. Dylan Dennis, awesome. You know, because he brings it. He does promote a show. He does in his own unique way. And he's got himself in hot water on social media before. We were just talking about it. I think Mike Perry would just absolutely murder him, though. I mean, the aggression from Mike Perry in Bare Knuckle. It's just one mode. He's like a pit bull. He's like an absolute pit bull. He just, right, that's it. We're fighting bare knuckle. We're going to stand in the pocket. We're going to swing. We're going to swing and you're just going to fight. And the last man standing. He fights for real like Sean Strickland says he does.
He hear me out. MVP gets to a belt, and they bring Mike Perry in to fight for the title. And then we have Mike Perry holding a UFC belt by the end of the year.
Oh! Hey, oh, God. Wild card.
It's built
that
in.
That is the avenue of mixed martial arts matchmaking. Jesus Christ, could you imagine Mike Perry cut from the organization, becomes a massive superstar, makes, I don't know, I'm assuming millions of dollars at this point, comes back to the UFC, rematches Mike Perry, Michael Venom Page, pardon me, and becomes the champ. Now, that's a Hollywood story right there.
It's all in play.
Cut me a check.
You need to call Mike Perry's manager and get on with that shit. Okay, this weekend we got some fights going down. Edson Barboza worked with Lerone Murphy, the undefeated miracle, Lerone the Miracle Murphy. Tremendous fight. Edson Barboza, man, I think last time we saw him, Sadiq Youssef, right? He had a tough fight against Sadiq Youssef. Beautiful fight. He was Sadiq Youssef, it looked like it was going to be done. It looked like Sadiq was going to finish him early, and Edson Barboza showed that he's still got a chin. He can still take it. Still started landing those spinning wheel kicks and shit. It was a phenomenal fight, and he wins a very, very hard-fought decision. Lerone Murphy on the flip side, younger, not as much miles on the clock in the ring, but miles on the clock outside of the ring. Remember, this guy was shot in the face. Multiple times, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's been on the podcast. Then he fell off his bike. He was in a coma, got hit by a car when he was on his bike. So that's why he hasn't been fighting too frequently. But he's really good. He's got slick striking, great boxing, good takedown defense, and I'm assuming decent jiu-jitsu. We just don't really see it much. But it's an interesting fight. It's a clash of two strikers. Who you got?
I mean, it's so tough to pick against Edson Barboza. You know, especially, you know, the last two fights, Billy Q, and then, you know, as you were saying, the Sadiq Youssef, like, he does do a very good job of turning back these hungry young prospects. There's something about Lerone, though, that feels like, you know, there's two types of prospects that fight Edson Barboza, right? Remember when Khabib absolutely ragdolled him and dominated him for, you know, the better part of five rounds, versus, you know, something like I said, the Billy Q's or Sadiq Youssef's of the world. I think Lerone is closer to the Khabib camp, where this guy is like legit title contender, versus, you know, the some of these other guys who I think are going to be very good prospects, you know, guys who I think can be ranked in the division, but maybe not championship material.
Yeah, no, I was listening to you. I'm just bringing up the Wikipedia page. Yeah, so we can just take a look. Yeah, because it's one of those, because, like, you know, I support English fighters. I root for them. But it doesn't mean that I just blindly say they're going to win. And I don't. And does it mean I always want them to win? You know, I can't think of many. But if you're a dickhead, do you know what I mean? And someone's a better fighter and I have a better relationship, sometimes that might skew you. But Lerone Murphy's a fucking great guy, man. He's a great guy and he's a great fighter and he's undefeated. So, and I think he's got the future to become a champion. But then when you look at Edson Barboza, oh, darling. When you look at Edson Barboza, when you look at him, you want to talk about a great guy. Never mind all the action inside the octagon. You want to talk about a humble human being and a man that's just a pleasure to be around. He came on the show right after his last fight.
Edson? Yeah, I think so.
I think he might have done it. If he didn't, then I've definitely been hit too hard in the head. But when Edson Barboza, man, listen, he's lost a few to Giga Chikadze and Bryce Mitchell, Paul Felder, Dan Ige, Justin Gaethje. In between those, he's been beating good people. Sadiq, Billy Q, Shane Burgos, Makwan Amirkani, Dan Hooker. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's a tough fight. I'll say Lerone Murphy. I'll say Lerone Murphy, but yeah, if Lerone Murphy gets it done, it's all with the hands. He's the better boxer. He's the better boxer. Edson's the better kicker. Edson's got better jiu-jitsu. Might be a time when we see Edson Barboza, you know, soften him up with the kicks and then go for a takedown. But it's a great fight. Love it.
Yeah. This is going to be a fun fight card. This is a great weekend of fights. Dude, because we got Fury versus Usyk in the afternoon. Then that's at night. This is, yeah. This is gonna. I feel bad for my fiance, how much time be spent in front of the TV watching men hit each other this weekend.
Yes. Well, I feel bad for your fiance every day. No disrespect. Anthony's back on Monday. Shorter show today. I'm leaving to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I've got a lot of loose ends. I've got a lot of errands. I've got to do something about this hair. I've got to go and get a haircut. If you have a question though for next week, send it into bympod@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps us out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to Gas Digital Network. Head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM14. Get a 2-week free trial and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
That's 2 shows in a row now, brother. I've cursed you.
Yeah, dude, that's it. It's you staring me down.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for this. That's me, though. Thanks for supporting the show, everyone. We appreciate you, and we'll be back on Monday.